Audio for the Retro Computing Roundtable is hosted by CyberEars. When you need a rock-solid platform to host and distribute your podcast or other audio media, head over to CyberEars.com. Fast, reliable hosting with unlimited bandwidth. CyberEars is your audio on your terms.
Who's hosting? You should go.
No, I'm not hosting. You're hosting.
Well, I don't want to host. Quinn's supposed to host.
Quinn's not here.
Ken can host.
I've done that.
You're hosting, Kevin.
Well, it seems the Emerald City is far behind me now. And my world has changed back from black to white. But no matter where I go, there's just one thing I like to know.
It's Kansas Fest 2019, and it's the Chicken Missile Mega Podcast version, like, 5.0 or something?
Something.
And we are here at Rockhurst University in the chapel, paying our respects to the Kansas Fest gods or something. This is the big Mega Podcast. Hello, everybody.
Yay!
I am Kevin Savitz. I am host of Antic, the Atari 8-bit podcast, and Eaten by a Gru, something about Infocom. And we're going to go around the table, and I'll introduce ourselves.
All right. I'm Chris Torrance of the Assembly Lines video podcast.
I'm Charles Mangan from How To.
I'm Mike Whalen from Retro Reads.
I'm Brian Weiser from Call Apple.
Joe Stroh-Snyder from Joe's Computer Museum on YouTube.
I'm Jason Scott from Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It podcast.
I'm Ken Gagne from Polygamer and Transporter Lock.
And I'm Paul Hegstrom from Retro Computing Roundtable and maybe Drop 3 Inches. That's it, I think.
Okay, excellent. So we have been at Kansas Fest for, like, what, 5 days now, although it feels to me like we've been here forever. Like, this has been my life forever, and I'm never going home. It's a long week of exciting, constant things.
I completely agree with that.
When you arrive on Monday to get here extra early,
yeah,
it seems like time really
elongates.
Slow?
Well, it's kind of weird because Monday to Thursday goes really quick. Because there's not as much going on, and people are arriving, and it's kind of scattered. There's no real organization and structure. And then suddenly it's Thursday, and it's like, there's sessions, and I got to get things on the computer, and I got to share disks, and I got to do things. And then Thursday and Friday take forever, and you're really tired, and there's, like, late nights. And then suddenly it's Sunday morning, and you're driving home, and you realize, what happened? Where did it all go?
And you're very sad because it's going to be another year before you're back in Kansas City.
But then you're glad because you can watch the recorded YouTube live streams and watch all the sessions that you missed. So.
Or slept through.
Or at least
through, yeah.
Try to watch them unless you get busy with something else.
It is pretty interesting how when you show up again, it seems as if no time has gone by. Like, you know, a year went by, but you show up and all the same people are here and, you know, nothing's changed. You know, the sink is still broken in the same way.
That pile of dirt in the corner of the bathroom is just a little bit higher.
Although I have to say, I actually almost burned myself in the shower today. Yes. So the water was actually hot enough. So that was a pleasant surprise.
Or your immune system is weakened.
That could
be
awesome.
Maybe your skin is just really thin.
Yep. What else?
What else?
We have two award winners here, actually. Kevin Brian.
Yeah. Technically, you're an award winner, too.
Well, no. But this is the Apple II Forever Award, which is, you know, rarely bestowed upon people. Well, I guess it's always bestowed, but annually.
Bestowed annually. Right.
Yeah.
But rarely enough.
Yes.
Bestowed upon a rare few.
So, So, Brian and Kevin, how does it feel to have received this award?
I feel that I am honored, and I feel like that they must have started scraping the bottom of the... I'm not speaking for Brian, who really deserved it, but when they got to me, they were kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel and they start giving awards to the Atari guy in the room.
That's true. The Church of Atari, what the hell are you doing there?
Anyway, true.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, this is Brian. I was honestly blown away. I kind of felt like a deer caught in the headlights. I I related it to a story seen Patrick Stewart years ago at Paramount Studios. And I was literally like a deer caught in the headlights, and after about 30 seconds, I realized Patrick Stewart's coming toward me on a bicycle. There he goes. He's looking at me strangely. And that's what it felt like when I heard my name called. I couldn't believe it. I was very appreciative. It will definitely occupy a place on a public wall.
Excellent.
Yes, Kevin's interviews have been significant. I mean, how many have you done now?
350.
And
who's counting?
Yeah, well, 350. So you've almost done one for every day of the year between today and next Kansas Fest.
Oh, right.
So if you wanted to, you could literally listen to one a day between now. And that's a significant body of work. And most of them are people that are significant to not just Atari, but to the computer industry as a whole and to retro computing and people of all interests. And, you know, that overflows into Apple II. And so, yeah, that makes sense. And then Brian and Bill have had this mass of publications, these books that are just keep pouring out of you guys. And I know that you guys have been doing a massive job doing edits and cleanup and literally cutting and pasting bits and pieces of handwriting together to get these books together. And I've got a handful of them in my shelves, and they're great reference books, and more are coming out every year. So
thank you.
There's no doubt that you guys are award winners for a reason. So be humble and all that, but realize that you've got it because you're not scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Although this does require a retroactive correction, because Brian, when you were on the Open Apple podcast in June of 2011, 8 years ago...
Is this under oath?
Yes. You were described as an unsung hero of the Apple II archivist movement.
And now you're sung.
Sung.
It only took 8 years. Well, apart from... I remember, and I think you were the person that said that, too, which I really appreciated.
Well, now that you're sung, how do you feel?
I feel special, extra special. My mom always said I was special, and now maybe I believe her.
Now the rest of the world knows it.
Yep.
So I don't, apparently, like right before we started this, I was told I was in charge, which I would know, but apparently I am, and I don't have much of a plan, but I mean, normally we talk about go around the table, talk about our highlights of Kansas Fest so far. Chris,
go first. Well, you might not appreciate this, but I'm actually going to say that one of my highlights is your session on the Whiz Kids, and then also even the Choose Your Own Adventure. And so those were kind of two new things.
Now you're pitying me.
Come on, no. It was fun. It was fun. So we did two sessions where we read from two different. Well, I'm not sure if Choose Your Own Adventure was a script, but the Whiz Kids was a TV show. Back in the
1983, 1984.
Yeah, and so Kevin had the script for that, and we all took parts and read them out, and it was actually a lot of fun. It was a terrible script and super cheesy, but I had a blast doing it, so that was one of my highlights.
That was a lot of fun.
Cool. And eminently quotable.
Yes.
NASCorp. my highlights, I don't know, it's been a great week. I've been very busy. I've been trying to participate as much as I can. I think the last couple of years I've tried to and then failed at doing a Hackfest. And I've been trying – I tried to do some of the contests and things. And just but this year it's like I'm firing on all cylinders. I've done four presentations already, and I've got a Hackfest entry that's ready to go. I did a fun door sign. I'm disappointed there wasn't Bite the Bag. I feel really bad now that I didn't enter Jason's marathon, because I was watching and really enjoying, but partly glad because I would have gotten spanked by Ken and Chris. So I'm trying to kind of jump in with both feet this year, because I don't know, last couple of years I haven't quite done everything that I wanted to do and went home a little disappointed that I didn't take it all in. A little sad this year because there are some people that would normally be around this table and are not.
Mm-hmm. Carrington and Quinn and others.
John Leake.
Mm-hmm.
John Leake and other significant perpetual, or not quite perpetual,
sporadic
attendees.
We're not here this year. And so, yeah, I'm sure Kevin's feeling Quinn's absence because she's usually the one that drives this podcast and hosts and keeps us all organized and on track. But other than that, it's been a great year, and I've been really, like I said, jumped in with both feet and looking forward to watching as much of the archive stuff when I get home.
For me, this is one of the best ones I've had in a long time. Two things stand out. Your tech demo, Charles, that you did at the short session with the camera and the...
Why don't you describe it?
Because I don't know how to describe it exactly.
To put it succinctly, it's low-res streaming video to an Apple II from a computer webcam. And it streams over a serial connection, so it sort of maximizes the amount of bandwidth you can get over serial to an Apple II, and then it's all in low res, so it's 16 colors, and I had fun doing that.
Now, right now, it's capturing people as they go down the hall?
It's not, because the webcam is driven by my laptop. Oh. Right now, it's just playing a video on a loop.
My question is, what are you doing with all these photos?
Displaying them on an Apple II screen, that's it.
That was very impressive. The other thing was the WizKids thing. I just thought it was a scream. And as far as eminently quotable, everybody's dying. Right? Some are just dying sooner than others.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
T-shirt.
This is Brian. I always enjoy the sessions, but some things that are standing out to me this time, as always, are the people. Some of the new attendees, I think, might be new friends. They're really neat people, and I'm glad to have met them and hope they return. I've had a number of interactions with Mark Pelzarski of Penguin Software before I was here, and here I got to do a private interview with him, which I'm planning to put on my yet-to-be-named podcast that's forthcoming, along with some other interviews, and had some really neat interactions with him where I really learned how much he appreciated the efforts I went to do the Graphically Speaking Enhanced Edition book of his. So those kind of interactions. I always enjoy interacting with the other Mark and Jason doing applesauce archiving of all the original discs. I think that's a lot of fun, and learned a little bit more about that so I can start archiving my thousands of discs at home. I had the generous experience of receiving an Apple II, not a 2 Plus, but a 2 from Margaret, which was not working, and the repair guys here that are right next door to me got it working after about 8 hours.
Wow. So there's this repair room, and there. Can I?
Please.
There's
yeah.
this repair room. I don't know whose room it is. I walk by, Justin and Sark. It's
yeah.
filled. It's always filled with people repairing stuff. I went by one day, and there was a big old like 1960s videotape player in there, and it was connected to a black and white portable camera. Portable within a wire with about 10 feet that they could record stuff to the... And you know, they're fixing Apples and Macs and stuff. And I just went in there 10 minutes ago to find Brian, and I nearly passed out by the strong smell of isopropyl alcohol. I mean, I was just like, guys, open a window. It was like dizzying. So they're cleaning stuff and fixing stuff and making it work, and it's part of the Kansas Fest fun.
So I've just enjoyed all the interactions with people, and as a consequence of some of that, I've missed a lot of the panels I'm hoping to catch after, but it always makes a big impact, no matter what you do here.
Kansas Fest is made of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Joe here. First time I'm ever at Kansas Fest, so I have absolutely, thank you, I have absolutely no basis of reference to go off of.
The best Kansas Fest ever.
It is.
Yeah.
It's got
Joe's
to be,
here.
Right? Woo. Statistically speaking, you know, you can watch every video, every past video. You can talk to previous Kansas Fest goers online. You can look up anything and everything, and it pales in comparison to actually being here. So if there's anybody out there that's listening to this podcast...
There's not.
Well, not right now.
Well, we are.
You know, and you're thinking, oh, I don't know. just get your butt out here, because it's flipping awesome. The camaraderie, the wandering into Sark's room at 11 p.m. and smelling the smell of flux and hot soldering irons and being like, yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Garage giveaway, the games, the dorm experience, which for me was a completely new thing. I'd never done that before. it's great stuff.
Yeah, it's Jason here. Most of my time has been spent imaging floppies. And so as a result, I don't really see all of you as real people. Your shadows in a mist. We thought that we were going to do a little bit of fluxing. We were proud of the fact that we brought 4 or 5 applesauce rigs to do what would be expected to be a simple fluxing of a few dozen or perhaps couple hundred floppies to preserve for later generations. And then somebody decided to bring what feels like 9 software etceteras strapped together with packing tape. So now we're in this, I don't know, kind of self-created hell, something that they never expected us to have to do. And the question becomes, at what point do we have to think about shipping it out to finish it? All the sorts of questions. It was important to me this year to not do anything, so I've been successful at that. I haven't helped with AV, and I have not run anything, and I have not made anybody do anything, and I didn't even shoot the picture. I'm very happy, because I didn't want to do what I do with everything else in my life, which is dominate it and become a single point of failure. It's good to know and watch as people step in and do just as good a job.
Just as good a job as a single point of failure?
Just as good a job as a person who's become the single point of failure in 9 different channels.
Gotcha.
That's the
thing. Of the stuff that you've fluxed, the probably hundreds of discs that you've done,
mm-hmm.
what's... Can you name 1 or 2 that were surprising or just like, we didn't know this existed or something that surprised you?
High-tech Expressions swimsuit calendar generator for the Apple II.
Mm.
High-tech Expressions made a simple video game called Mating Zone. They made a couple other space games. They did some very basic stuff. And it's this weird deluxe package with like a weird drawn, digitized bathing beauty and the ability to create calendars for whatever year you want, and a deluxe package that looks like a calendar, but you open it up and it's a floppy disk and this picture, and you're just like, why? What is this? And obviously it didn't sell well because I've never seen it before and nobody else knew what it was.
Is it Y2K compliant?
I don't know. We don't have the time to play these things.
I know.
That's the worst part. We don't even know what we're producing yet. We've produced 1,000 fluxed images this week. And you never know what's never existed before and what things you've done for the 100th time in the community. And there's no way to guess. We are quickly discovering the limits of what this software industry created. And in many cases, they would upgrade the program without telling anybody, which means we can't ever assume. You know, if you do Atari 2600 cartridges, with very little exception, you can be reasonably assured that if you got this cartridge, you got all the cartridges.
Right.
They didn't upgrade. Not so with the Apple II. So that means you kind of have to start recording everything. And this is like 13 bins of floppy disks. That's not normal. As I understand, it was a couple of states. We've already determined that at least one of these appears to have been down the line a computer store. Because it's demo versions of programs that we know. Stripped down versions. So that's great, except for whoever ran this computer store obviously had a rough few years because there's shrink wrap where you're like, oh, the shrink wrap has shrunk. And then you're like, this shrink wrap was sitting in a window for 3 years. And we're getting some of that. Just that beautiful, dirty, the owner's too old to reach over the little wall to put in new products. It's been there forever and a day. The bookstore we have shared in our life.
Yeah.
That for a software store.
Yeah, scary.
Kevin and I shared a moment. We are now bonded as blood brothers. I was visiting him in Portland, and there was a store. And we both looked at that store, and it said it was a bookstore. And we were like, that's a murder store. Yeah, we were like, it's so...
Imagine the jankiest
bookstore you could possibly imagine. It was so much worse than that from the outside.
From the outside, just wood paneling and scotch tape holding it together.
Mm-hmm. And the books in the window that, like, you know, Windows 95 for dummies that had just, like, sun-aged and cracking and, yeah.
And so, like any people do with our partners both watching us in horror, we said, I'm going in, and the other one said, I'm going in. He said, I'm not scared. I said, I'm not scared either. And so we go in. There's no light. There's a guy who's looking at us like, I can't believe somebody came in here, not in a good way. There was an old man with no shirt. I remember that.
Boxer shorts and no shirt.
And as we
Stephen King stories start this way.
And as we started to walk, and so now we've got this social thing. We've now determined about 95% of what we need to know. Maybe there's a little extra in the basement. Maybe there's a little extra in the back. But now the social contract says you can't just say to a store owner, we're here because it was weird. So we start to comment about, oh, look, this book that everyone knows about. Oh, look, a book. And one of us stepped in one direction, and the guy said, not past that line.
Yep. Yeah, we tried to step into the second aisle of books, of the second, like, stacks, and he was just like, nope.
Nope. So we both stared at post-it notes from time gone by and said, that reminds me of the thing I have to be at. And he's like, I'll help you. And we left. And our partners were outside like, you didn't die. And we're like, it was close.
Yeah.
So, no, it's like that, except for software. So we've been working on this for, you know, the whole week. There were occasionally four of us. But happily, the Kansas Fest community is very excellent. So we have had people just come out of nowhere. Tom Green comes to mind. He just started replacing cards on the drives when they started dying and sorting bins into types of packages. And then I went up there today, and there were five people around it, like a knitting circle, switching groups of floppies to make it easier for us to just do things and not have to do any sorting. So even with all that, we're going to have lots over to get rid of. And hopefully whatever comes out the other end will be amazing and interesting, and there'll be programs we've never seen before. But the big myth is that the Apple II being so old, we've seen everything. And it's become quite obvious in the last two or three years that, nope, we saw everything that won.
Yeah.
And there's so much that lost. We're going to see it. That's been my week.
Ken Gagney.
Well, I have not stepped into a murder store.
Oh, you haven't lived.
Nor have I died. More important. I've been having a really good Kansas
Fest. We're
all
dying.
Just some sooner than others. Can't wait. So, actually, I can wait. I wrote an editorial last month about how important it is to not overcommit yourself. And Jason recently spoke to that as well. I thought I was in a good place going to this Kansas Fest because I was going to be moderating one panel and giving one talk and appearing on another panel. And the presentation I was giving was basically repurposed content from another conference I attended. The panel I was presenting was very similar to another panel I've also presented elsewhere, so I felt prepared for that. And the panel I was appearing on, I thought it was going to be simpler. I thought I was going to be asked some questions and I'd talk extemporaneously. But I actually had prepared some slides for it, so that wasn't a big deal. And then I ended up getting pulled into the WizKids, and I did that. And then I got pulled into the Choose Your Own Adventure, and I did that. And I somehow forgot I was on Charles' panel, so I did that. And then there was the Super Mega Podcast, so I did that. And then there was the Juice GS presentation tonight, so I did that. And I don't feel overwhelmed. I actually feel like I've gotten to participate in a lot of Kansas Fest and not stress out about it. Because so many of these things were low commitment. Both of your things, Kevin, I just had to show up. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that you created an opportunity for people to participate without putting the onus on them. That's not something that a lot of people get to do. Jason's marathon. I have never done the Omegathon at PAX. I've always wanted to. And this was a great opportunity to do that, but at Kansas Fest. It was the best of both worlds. There was no preparation involved. I didn't know what games were going to be played, so I didn't practice them like I did for the Nintendo World Championships in 1990.
I would have paid money to watch that training sequence.
The end result was the same. I came in second. I'm still not bitter. But yeah, it's been a great Kansas Fest. And the few days leading up to it were a vacation unto themselves. 4 days, 4 states, 4 museums. A bunch of Apple II users and I went to the National Video Game Museum in Frisco, Texas, and then we went to the Oklahoma City Memorial and Museum, which Michael Sternberg described as Bummer Town. And then we went to the Cosmosphere in Kansas, which is bizarrely the middle of the country, has this amazing collection of NASA and USSR artifacts, including the original Apollo 13 space module and a moon rock that Neil Armstrong collected at Apollo 11, the anniversary of which is tomorrow, the lunar landing, 50 years. And then the next day, Kevin organized the Linda Hall Library Tour, including a fascinating presentation by Dr. Benjamin Gross of several rare books by Charles Babbage, Ada Lovelace, Alan Turing, Steve Wozniak, and selected specifically for our crowd. I loved that tailored presentation. I loved the enthusiasm from a man who clearly loves what he does and also runs in retro computing circles because he's been to VCF East and knows Evan Koblenz, as do we all. So it's been a really diverse and jam-packed week, and I don't feel exhausted by it at all, which is a really nice change.
So one thing that we didn't mention, I'll lead into this a little bit by saying, one thing that was very cool was Charles's two-player mod for Karateka. Mm-hmm. I will say it as Karateka.
That's how I said it.
Okay, I got to listen to all you people call it Mechner. I was hearing people call him Mechner, and they were correcting each other on Karateka. It's pronounced Karateka. That's Jordan Mechner's Karateka. Delightful. Every moment.
But so the actual mod, so that was pretty amazing, actually. Charles went through and kind of like traced the operation of the program, watched the memory stuff going by, and figured out what changed in the machine when the computer, you know, the computer-driven opponent did various things like kick and move and whatever. And then basically just rerouted the instructions to the opponent so that they came from the keyboard rather than coming from the generated moves. I wouldn't have thought it would be possible, but it was possible and it was done. And that led into another thing which was quite amazing, which was that the next thing we had on the schedule was a surprise, which turned out to be Jordan Mechner beaming in.
Mechner.
It's Mechner.
In fact,
my Mechner.
But beaming in to talk about, he's releasing sort of enhanced editions of his journals. I think it is both of them, but at least the Prince of Persia journal. And so he actually got to talk to Charles a little bit about this and. And it got deep, actually. Like, I didn't realize the extra level of complexity where actually the opponent sort of telegraphs its moves to you. So it moves a little bit slower, and you can see what it's going to do so that you can react in a proper way. And so Jordan had seen, like, this. There's a possible problem with actually making this a two-player game because one of them is going to be moving slower. And, you know, be at a disadvantage in the, you know, hit points or whatever they are, but that was wild, and it was a neat surprise too.
So. Yeah, I was not expecting that to be the surprise presentation, and my jaw dropped because he gave the keynote, Jordan Mechner, at PAX East 2012, and I got in line to the mic at the Q&A, and I said, I asked him a question because Prince of Persia at that time had just been ported, I think, to the Commodore 64 by a fan, and I asked him, you know, what do you think about that? Like, do you think it's piracy? Do you think it's cool? Did you not think it was possible? And he answered that question, and then I said, by the way, I go to an annual Apple II convention in Kansas City called Kansas Fest. You're welcome to join us. And he was just like, next question, please. But then 7 years later, here he is. And to be clear, I'm not claiming credit for that. I didn't put the bug in his head. The committee reached out to him and got him to come this year. But it's just so cool that something that 7 years ago I really didn't think was possible actually happened. That's cool.
Nice. I've been here in Kansas City since Saturday. Because reasons, I was here. I got to enjoy the city a little more than I normally do. Which meant sitting around the Alamo Draft House and the Tapcade, watching a lot of movies and playing Tapper. And I enjoyed that. And that was a nice, like, slow release into the week of Kansas Fest.
We went to a ball game.
We went and saw the Kansas City Royals play some other team?
White Sox.
The White Sox.
Chicago White Sox.
That was a lot of fun. And then the game. So the thing that I did differently this year is I decided not to do the Hackfest. Every year I do the Hackfest, and it didn't work out for me this year. I had an idea months ago, it wasn't going to work out to be something I do this week. So I decided I'm just going to devote my time to other things, and it has freed up so much of my mental bandwidth and time this week, not trying to get something done in time. So I went and viewed the Jason's Marathon thing, and tonight I played Robot Rascals for the first time, and that was a lot of fun. I've got to help with several little things that needed to be done because Jason decided he wasn't going to do them.
Awesome.
So I've done a lot of scattered little things and gotten to talk to people and really enjoy myself in a very different way than I did last year and the year before when I had my nose to the grindstone trying to get my Hackfest entries done in time.
Yeah, if I might add one more thing about the newcomers, I can't remember who, I think it was Brian, said something about that. It was interesting. This is the first year I've been on the committee, and so I kind of felt like it was my job to greet everyone, like all the newcomers, and make sure they were settled and kind of make sure they were welcome. And that was, I'm sure this has happened other years where, you know, people have come in who have been new and people have welcomed them in, but I just felt it added something to my experience to be able to just kind of check in on them and see how they were doing and make sure that they had everything they needed and that they were actually enjoying themselves and I felt like I should try to convince them to come back next year and do all that I could to make sure that they wanted to do that. So that was really nice to be able to do that.
And if it makes you feel better, I asked one of them if he and his wife are coming back next year, and he said, oh, definitely. So
awesome.
I heard similar sentiments. And some people said that the reason they came was because Steve Weirich's music videos. One guy said that. He said, I've been wanting to come for years, but once I saw K-Fest Funk, I knew I had to be there.
As a newcomer, I can say Chris and the entire team here actually did make me feel welcome. Cool. So you guys did a good job.
Awesome.
The people who were on the committee were just...
Yeah, you guys, the rest of you guys were just awful. You're just mean people.
With the drag in the tunnel.
Yeah. Well, I will be seeing your door sign everywhere for weeks to come.
Like burned into your retina?
Yes. I couldn't take a photo of it. It's just all washed out.
I had to shield my eyes as I walked past.
Joe, can you describe your door sign?
Absolutely. It's like an 80 LED multicolor Apple II logo with resistor values that are apparently too small.
One ohm.
Yes, there you go. So, yeah, it's like brighter than the midday sun, to quote some song from the mid-90s. I got a lot of comments on that.
You need to stand out.
Well,
newcomer.
Yeah, first time guy. I gotta make my mark, right?
It's funny. I've seen some first-timers come here, show up, look around, immediately go to their rooms and lock themselves in. And, like, pretty much stay there for the whole week. And you just went the complete polar opposite.
Go bold or go home, right?
Okay.
There's another newcomer, the kid, Adrian?
Yeah. Adrian.
I don't know how old he is. He's a kid.
He's 12.
I knew that. He has jumped into this thing with
Absolutely.
Both feet as with the gusto of someone who has been using Apple IIs all their lives. And, you know, he played the marathon game and he took part in the script reading and... He's just like, yeah, I'm in. You know, he wants it all.
Talk.
He gave a lightning talk
about how awesome K-Fest is.
Yeah,
which is
true.
True.
Always a good opener.
Always a good opener. Yeah, good way to
ingratiate.
Yeah, thank you for the words.
Yeah. So I'm just walking around. I keep seeing this kid everywhere, and he's just like doing all the things. And
I don't know this child,
but I'm proud of him, and I think he's awesome and a great new
member. He'll be running K-Fest in 4 years.
He'll be running K-Fest.
Running K-Fest in 1 year.
I see myself in him.
Dude. Cool.
Just so young and immature. Once.
This is the kid in Penvolf's coated mirror on the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's also kind of a pretty cool thing because Coveted Mirror is a game, it's an adventure game, Penguin adventure game. I didn't really know it, you know, I mean, it wasn't much on my radar, but this was his, like, this was a big deal to him, and he liked the game, and so that made it extra cool that this was the year that Mark Pelczarski was here, mm-hmm. who, you know, was sort of involved in making that be possible, that game. So, it's pretty, I hope that the memory lasts.
We all hope that memory lasts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What?
What did you just say?
I wasn't listening.
Amen. Never forget. Oh, wait.
Anything else before we move on to the next thing?
Move on.
Okay. So, Ken and I were brainstorming ideas of, we always play a little game or do something silly. As I was walking down here to record, I had a stroke of brilliance.
Or a stroke.
I have an idea for a thing we're going to do, and I don't know if it's going to play well on radio.
That's always a good starting way to
No, start. I'm totally just like another random thing. So I have a box of stuff that I took off the giveaway table.
Oh, God.
We're
doomed.
We're going, each person is going to close their eyes. I'm going to hand them a thing from the box, and you need to identify it with your eyes shut. The more specific you are, the better. For instance, it might obviously be a book. You can say it's a book, but what book is it? You have no way of knowing, your eyes are shut. But just make stuff up. I don't know.
Wow.
Now, who wants to try this? This came off the giveaway table. There won't be any bugs or anything, right?
It's all full of bugs.
Just make sure you...
It's all full of bugs.
These are items that have been on the giveaway table for days that nobody seems to want.
Because they have spiders awesome. And bugs.
They may have spiders and bugs, but...
I want to go.
You want to go? Okay.
Wash your hands after. That's all.
Yeah, okay.
Close your eyes. Eyes closed.
Do we have? We don't have to close our eyes, so we can make fun.
I don't even have one for everybody.
Oh, we're not going to close our eyes until we get our thing.
No.
Are you going to hand it to me?
I'm going to hand it.
But nobody look in the box. Don't look in the box.
Oh, look directly into the box.
Don't
stare at the box.
Are shut?
Yep, they're shut.
Are you an object?
Okay. This feels easy.
Yeah,
this feels like it's either a drive or a floppy. I don't feel a door, so... I think it's a hard drive of some sort.
What brand is it?
Remember,
Hitachi.
If you feel a wire, just pull at it.
Definitely.
That's how you tell if it works or
if
not.
If it's a hard drive, what size is it?
He's shaking it?
That's because if it's something fragile.
He's touching
its
connectors.
40 megabyte Hitachi drive manufactured in 1989.
All right,
done.
Open your eyes.
Okay.
It is a quantum drive. Oh,
42
meg.
42
meg.
Quantum.
Good.
Did I not
very
say
good.
Quantum?
Oh,
I said
that
quantum.
Was, that's,
edit. Edit.
You can tell quantum. By the weight, right?
Yeah, I'm saying he's just cheating. He's using the weight.
Yeah.
You can tell by the sound,
like
I can, sound of shattered
meg.
Metal inside
yeah,
it.
That 40 million bytes.
And that's
there.
Yours now to keep. Sorry.
Thanks.
All right. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
All right. Joe.
Absolutely.
Close your eyes.
Everything about this is awesome.
Paint us a word
Ooh.
Picture.
Careful.
Is Remember,
it,
I'm putting the
it,
item into Joe's hands. He's going to describe it.
It's got slightly
don't,
sharp edges.
Yeah,
don't ruin
grab.
Your day.
Yeah.
That is a back panel to a Quadra 605.
Dang.
Holy crap. Oh, I have to take it. That's right.
Yeah, that's yours
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
awesome.
Take that.
It's right. going to be on the backdrop of every video.
My eyes are
on.
Shut.
All right. Make sure it's gooey. Awesome. That's, yeah, that's
that
good.
That might qualify.
Yeah.
Okay. This is... Oh, it's... Oh, no, I've got it on my hand.
It's a puppy.
Describe it.
It is roughly... 3 inches by roughly 4 inches by roughly a half an inch. It is the ribbon for an image writer, I'm guessing. The tension's probably a little off. It's probably completely dried out because it's about 40 years old. And like I said, if it still has any ink on it, I've got it on my hands.
You're dried out.
All right, take a look.
You're 40 years old. There.
It is.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us what color it was.
Oh yeah.
It's
yeah.
brown, apparently.
So actually, so far people have been... Very successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pressure is mounting.
So then I guess I better break
Brian
with the trend here.
Brian, this is the next thing.
All right.
Oh, I can't wait to address the 9 people still listening to our podcast after this.
I do this for me, not for them.
Oh, that's...
All right, I'm placing the item in Brian's hands.
Oh, that's easy. It's a mouse trap, so it's a little holder for a mouse, probably for a Mac.
All right?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be hard, I gotta say.
Is it actually branded mousetrap, or is it?
Well, it's a Kensington, it looks like.
I can hear the clients pressing the right arrow button.
Trust us.
It'll get better.
It's a Kensington mouse.
Ken's
pocket
going
DB.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
the ATV
going.
Mouse
right.
As
oh,
opposed
boy.
To the serial mouse.
Get him. Make it hard.
Very nice. Well, if it's for a Mac, it would be.
But,
well,
yeah, oh,
it'll be
very nice.
Yeah, probably.
Ooh. Oh.
Paul has the item.
Okay, oh yes, my. So it's a box, it's a...
Good, excellent, good guess.
Yes, RS-232AB switch is my guess.
All right.
Wow.
It is?
It's an ABC
that's
switch.
Switch.
ABC switch.
Oh, totally wrong.
Oh, third place for Paul. Second loser.
All right, who's next? You guys
all right, I'll do it. All right. Here we go.
All right.
Oh, it is a puppy.
It was. Don't squeeze this one too hard.
Because it's a puppy.
Like the table, man.
Oh, that makes my
it tastes like gold.
Describe it for us, please.
It's long and flat.
Mike, you taste like gold. Okay.
And not terribly impressive. Let's see, I feel ridges on one side, or these little indents.
Mm-hmm.
I feel what feels like metal fingers along the bottom, and I feel like a little slice into those metal fingers, and I feel chips, and let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 chips. I'm
going to
say it's a RAM stick.
How big? How much memory?
Yeah, just weigh it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 8 megs.
All right.
And speed?
Open your eyes, is it? Take a look.
Okay, I don't know what...
I don't know how to...
Oh, 128 megs.
Ooh. 128 megs.
You know, it felt like PC memory, and I'm like, they wouldn't have that here.
Yeah, non-parity 128 megs. Very good.
For the folks at home, there's 2 left of these. I don't want to think how many car accidents we've caused from people rolling their eyes while driving. That's not the way to give a blind check, is to toss the item at them.
All right, well, it's a cable that is zip-tied, and let's see, the ends, it seems like it's male on both ends. So it's not like a Mini Din 8 because it's elongated with curved or angled edges like a DB25. How many pieces do I need to count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Whatever causes you to
riveted. Get accurate.
And so I'm going to guess male DB15. Can I open my eyes?
Yeah. 15, I don't know.
So 25.
Yeah, dude.
Into the pit with him.
Yeah.
That's my original guess, but there aren't 25 pins.
There's some pins. That's 20, it's an RS-232, so it doesn't need all pins. It doesn't need all 25.
Modified.
All
right. Jason?
Jason?
It's Apple computer brand.
Right. Bring it! All right. Here we are. Jason?
Don't toss it like
that. Here's your item. I'm placing it gently into your hands.
Thank God. It's a square made of paper. It has things in it. These things are little tiny note paddy things. It feels like an instruction manual warped underneath years of neglect, covered with mold I'll have to wash my hands from with a small piece. So if I had to guess, it is a technical manual with a small supplement or quick start guide.
Manual for what, Jason?
I'm not going to tell you that. And it is a writer with a machine-specific guide.
Yes.
I get nothing. Nothing. Slash Wonka. Nothing.
No
prize. That was the finest audio theater in the air experience I have ever.
Well,
literally 12 minutes of people going, I don't know what this is, yes. And people giggling.
Mystery and delight.
Mystery and delight. I apologize to you, Rumi.
Exactly what our listeners are doing, going, I don't know what this is.
You know what, you know, and this is the thing, the prize in this is the prize that the person who's listening can pride themselves that they'll listen to anything. They should become a parent, a guidance counselor, or a lawyer.
That's your subtitle to the podcast. I don't know what this is.
I don't know what this is. Put this in my hands.
The Carrington Vanston story.
We all learned something. And what did we learn, Kevin?
What? We all die. Some of us die sooner than others.
I think the phrase is some ideas die. Some sooner than others.
I threw three ideas hard against the wall this week.
We applaud that.
One of them was the WizKids script reading, which was a success, I think. People enjoyed it. It was weird, and it was fun. The second idea that I threw at the wall was trying to do a bunch of podcasters read from a choose-your-own-adventure book. That turned out to be a hot mess. It was not fun, and...
to be fair, the book is not fun.
Oh no! Yes,
I think it would have been. I think it was well executed for the material that you were given.
It was the book.
If you would maybe vetted the book before, it would have you would have chosen a different one.
Yes.
And you would have had some more choices to make.
Right. I chose the book because it had computer in the title. It was the only Choose Your Own Adventure that had computer in the title. It's been sitting on my desk for 6 months. I had time to vet the book.
Why did you have this book?
I bought it for this stupid thing.
Okay.
I would have gone with my own robot or your own robot, the one with the...
Like that answer. The answer is, well, what was I going to do? This was the only book. And it was already sitting on my desk. Why was it sitting on your desk? Because this was the thing I wanted for it. That's good. I mean, I went for a few things like the marathon and such, and I think that theme is to... I guess if... I forgot this thing you're supposed to share... there is a thematic thing at Kansas Fest that I have seen in the years I've been here where you throw for the stars to see if this thing you don't normally do works. I think Bite the Bag was a try a new thing you're uncomfortable with machine.
And that went on for years.
And so I think the fact that you tried to say, well, maybe dramatic readings of material is a good template. It turns out people like that. So even if you were to get people to do dramatic readings of manuals, it would play well.
Well, you've got a manual right there in front of you, a master typewriter manual.
Introduction. Master Types Writer is an amazing tool that will let you write better, faster, and with greater accuracy. Want to compose a letter to a friend? Produce a 250-page dissertation for your master's degree? Keep track of your club membership? Create a poem, play, short story, novel? All you need is the writer program.
You know I want to do all those things now.
A computer with a single disk drive, though two can be used.
Stop licking the memory thing.
It's delicious. It's delicious.
This program will instantly turn your computer into a full-function word processor that will help you to plan your writing, enter the text, correct, change, and improve what you have written, and print out as many error-free copies you desire at speeds and with an ease of use that you'll find truly remarkable. So yeah, no, that would work for, you know, having people read from everything. I think you have a lot of people who are introverted at Kansas Fest, and the idea of having a on-the-rails ability to express themselves where, at worst, they can blame the material. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody there felt, I think, that they gave a bad performance or they let people down. Right. And I don't know. I mean, I've got experience, but Adrian didn't with, like, doing that kind of cold read. Yeah. That was a great way to give a kid his first cold read. Awesome. Mega, what do you call it? Mega margin radio script was definitely the thing for the kid.
You're right. And he's reading things about digging up graves or
the skeleton. So kids found a skeleton.
Right.
What are we gonna do? Let's leave the kids in storage before we murder them all, so we can finish building our housing development. What a fine piece of work that was.
Yeah. Kevin, if you wanted to carry that idea forward and introduce people to material they might not be familiar with, pick a film like Colossus, The Forbidden Project. Pick a section from that that's especially interesting with that computer that takes over the world.
Or especially misogynistic, because that movie goes both ways.
That movie's a party.
Favorite scene, right?
That movie is a party.
I think the Parsley adventures that we've done in the past Ken moderated were a good template for this sort of thing going forward. The audience participation was great.
Yeah, we did that starting in 2010 as part of the banquet when our Friday night dinner was more formal. So literally everybody who was at Kansas Fest was there and was forced to participate. And that was
nothing like forced participation.
Well, they didn't know what they were getting themselves into, and that was part of the fun. And also, Parsley was so new, so when we went around, everybody was giving commands, go north, get lamp, go south. And then one person said, save game. And the entire room just broke out in raucous laughter. And the next year, when somebody says save game, they're like, no, that's an actual strategy. That's not funny. It's just how you play. So some of the newness, some of the originality wore off. But it's been a while that we have more attendees who have never played one. Mm-hmm. 2020 could be the year that it comes back.
Are we done? Anything else?
What's in the box?
Oh, what else is in the... Here's what I didn't give you. Because I just grabbed a bunch of stuff without... Like I said, it was just...
Everybody,
I want to see your thought process.
We have a Compute magazine, April 1990.
Oh, we don't have any of those. Keep going.
These would be familiar to me because I have reviewed that table over and over and over.
That's true. I don't want it either.
I handed it to you. It's yours now. We have a Tyvek floppy disk sleeve.
Oh, yeah, I would have gotten that.
That would be for too easy.
That would have been
for
fun.
For the ASMR.
Ooh, very nice. Hey, I'll have you know.
We have a charger. Some sort of
wall wart
9 or 6 volt charger.
I'll take
4.5 volt, 300 milliamps.
Give it over here.
It's Joe's.
All right.
All right.
We have a 3.5-inch floppy drive. Hear that? There's your ASMR. For In Control, the to-do list manager, which is software that I bought and used for years to help run my business in the 90s. Outlining software. We have a... Ethernet cable has seen better days.
No, RJ45.
yeah. Don't know. Probably not.
Can you tell by feel?
Nope.
You can tell by taste.
CD-ROM we have here, Ken.
Test drive, take it for a spin. Windows Fall 1993, Volume 1, Number 1, Release 1.
Test Drive Corporation.
This thing, I don't know what that is.
I'm fairly sure that's like either a keyboard or... It's meant to go inside of a device that gets hit a lot.
Yeah.
To protect it.
That's a buffer of some kind.
Yeah.
And finally, floppy disk, elephant branded floppy disk with a copy of DOS Boss on it.
DOS.
5.25-inch.
You know, I am the 7th top ASMR clip on Twitch.
I did know that.
Still. I'm reading Laser Shoot Larry source code, and somebody did a clip of me reading from the profanity file, and so it jumped up because halfway through, like, Ars Technica and a couple others said, this guy's doing this, you should go to it. That spiked the attendance record, so suddenly I'm the top ASMR account broadcasting that day, and then somebody did a clip, and people couldn't get enough of me cursing, so then I shot up to, like, number 5 or number 6. And so it's all these women scantily dressed with beautiful backgrounds of, like, all the prizes of things you could buy them, and then a guy in a suit just in the middle of it, like a true creeper. So it's
cursing like a sailor.
And if you go to him, he just starts cursing. I'm just cursing through everything Leisure Suit Larry had in its file. So yeah, no, it's a real peek in my I'm really proud where I've taken. I took a simple idea and a little bit of anger and a willingness to do anything on camera. And, you know, I released the Leecher Suit Larry source code like 3 weeks later, and of course nobody cared. But it was fun. So anyway, it's up there.
And maybe this podcast will be too.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, how badly do you want to archive this, Jason?
Oh, well, no, I archived them all. You should always archive everything. That gives you... What's life if not a series of lessons on what not to do? But the main thing for me with Kansas Fest is that, once again, it is not disappointed. I'm a little bit worn down because I took on a task I shouldn't have. But the usual cases of walking around and seeing people and meeting them. A couple people were nervous to meet me, which was silly, and then I met them and made sure that they learned very quickly that if somebody is here, they want to meet them, and they want to talk to them, and there aren't subjects that they're like, that's too geeky, and I don't want to go into that. And I'm like, let's discuss it. And so I have demonstrated the flux efforts of the applesauce controller to like four or five people who just wanted to understand what everyone is talking about. So that's been very fun. You know, I like it when we get new people. I'm intrigued by the fact that we have less people this year. I was worried it was going to go up to like 150
or 120 last year. 113, thank you. And now we're in the 80s.
Right, now we're in the 80s. And so there's two ways to approach that. One way is to go, good. And another one is to say, oh no, is this a downward trend? Like, I don't think that there's really any, I mean, people have, it can be an expensive proposition for people. And as I was saying to Paul, I think previously there's been an effort to like have one star appear, right, the keynote, and then just make everything about that keynote, and then the keynote usually leaves. And there are an entire range of Apple II people, historical figures, who respect us and love us, but do not want to get on a five-seated plane and come to Kansas City, but would be more than happy to be surprised drop-in guests and pay their respects, you know, throughout the weekend. And come, you know, be a two-way conversation and meet your heroes and would totally do it every year. So I think it would really behoove the crowd to, like, use all the contacts we've all built up with these historical figures instead of setting up a serial line, to like a supermarket line, to be a keynote, because they'll just die off within, you know, 15 Kansas Fest down. So I'm really going to want to push for that. And you know, I mean, what I think what I'm trying to say is that I always enjoy Kansas Fest to the point that I always want to improve it. But I always compare it to like a summer cabin, which is like, if you get to the summer cabin and you're like, oh, these beds are stiff and I can't believe there's leaves in the television, and why does the back door stick like this? And the person who says, well, this is terrible, you shouldn't go, you go, ah, but if you go out onto the dock and you sit on the bench out there for about 5 minutes, then you get it. And I think usually within the first night, all the newcomers sit down and they see all these fun, brilliant people sharing something very unique and deep, and they go, oh, now I get it. And I don't think any of the recordings or the write-ups or anything capture that adequately.
Absolutely.
So I think that's where we are.
Right. So unless anyone has anything else, we are going to go around the table. And one last thing, you are stranded on a desert island with coconuts and stuff and a working Apple II and one floppy disk. What is it? Say who you are and what your thing is, and then we'll be out.
This is Chris, and I would have Choplifter because I want to rescue all 64 people.
This is Charles. I would choose... A Mind Forever Voyaging, because I've always, I've never gotten around to playing it all the way through. I think I've started it a couple of times, but I've never actually sat down with it and really enjoyed that game.
This is Mike. I like, would have David's Midnight Magic, because I always like those pinball games on the Apple II.
This is Brian. I'd pick Rescue Raiders, because it was one of my all-time favorites that I finished, that I'd like to finish again.
Joe here. I think I'd take Load Runner with me because I never had it as a kid, and from what I understand, it takes a lot of effort to play that game. And if I'm going to be stuck on an island for a long time, I need something to distract myself.
This is Jason Scott. It would be a stock copy of DOS 3.3 with a bad sector that makes copy A not work because life was a series of disappointments, so why not finish it right?
This is Ken. I would bring AppleWorks 5.1 because I would want to write my reflections on a life that I've lived and all my hopes that I will have unfulfilled, that somebody might find it someday.
But you won't have anything to save it on.
Yeah,
well,
you need a
desk. Oh, no.
Yeah, well, you need a desk.
Can it be double-sided?
But no, you don't have a notch.
Let him have it.
It could have used notch.
Jason.
Yeah.
He'll actually get with like a sawed-off coconut.
He'll be fighting. He'll be swimming over to my desert island to mug me for my DOS 3.3 disc. Hey, wow, another person.
Conk.
All right, this is Paul. Load Runner was a good idea. I was going to say that because it has a level editor.
Somebody already took it, man.
Yeah, so I can't say that.
Yeah.
Championship Load Runner.
Right. And my first impulse was to say like Merlin or something, you know, so that I could write my own stuff. But I think what I would try, I'm going to gamble on this and say Rescue on Fractalus because it has because it generates new worlds on its own. So at least there's some chance that it would be sort of new for some time. Mm-hmm. But I've never played it, so it might actually not be fun.
Well, you said the thing that I was going to say, which is Merlin, the assembler. I could write my own games.
Okay.
Or not, but I probably would be able to, but I could try writing my own games.
Jason, this is a question for you.
Oh, great.
Is there a piece of Apple II software instructions on building a boat on a desert island?
Well, Spinnaker software must have something. You know they do.
True. Alright, this has been Chicken Missile, the mega podcast of Kansas Fest 2019. Thank you for listening.
See you at Kansas Fest 2020, July 21st.
See you.
What?
2020. I get it.
Very clever.
NASCorp! NASCorp!